إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، نرحب بكم جميعا. We welcome all of you once again. دروس السيرة. In these classes we read from مختصر سيرة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, the abridged biography of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. In the previous class, the last points we mentioned is the couple points, the story of Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anh, Sumayyah, the first martyr, the beginning of the call to Allah, and that's where we stopped at. We continue as you know, in this abridged book here of the Seerah, Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahu ta'ala, he brings points. He entitled them, gave them a title, and he mentioned them briefly. Another subtitle, أَوَّلُ دَمٍ أُهْرِيقَ, the first blood spilt. He says, rahimahullah, in the fourth year, mean the fourth year of the da'wah, when the Prophet ﷺ was sent to the people. In the fourth year, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu struck a man from among the pagans and fractured his skull. And this happened when the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ had gathered in the mountain passes and were praying there when a man from among the disbelievers saw them, and he had a number of Quraysh with him, numbers of people from Quraysh with him, and he began to malign them. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu struck one of them and he bled. The blood spilled from the person. This was the first blood spilled in Islam. In the Shaykh, he mentioned another subtitle, or another title, Istihza'u al-Mushrikeen, the mockery of the polytheists. قال وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا جلس وحوله المستضعفون من أصحابه مثل عمار بن ياسر وخباب بن الأرث وصهيب الرومي وبلال وأشباههم, فإذا مرت بهم قريش استهزأوا بهم وقالوا أهؤلاء جلساؤه قد من الله عليه من بيننا, فأنزل الله سبحانه وتعالى أليس الله بأعلم بالشاكرين, سورة الأنعام. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ sat and he had around him the weaker members of his companions, radiallahu anhum, such as Ammar ibn Yasir, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, Suhayb al-Rumi, and Bilal and their likes, because the Prophet ﷺ was modest, was humble. He don't choose who he sit with, sit only with the big guys like some people do. Prophet ﷺ, he was modest and humble. So, whenever the people of Quraysh passed by them, they would mark them. And they would say, are these people, meaning those who are sitting around the Prophet ﷺ, are these people those among us whom Allah has blessed? It's out of arrogance. Out of arrogance. Then Allah revealed, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِالشَّاكِرِينَ, does not Allah know best those who are grateful? Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 53. And of course, because the da'wah is at first, the weak and the poor, they're the ones that accept the da'wah, the poor and the weak. As for the people that have wealth, usually, and have status and positions, they want to, as we mentioned in previous classes, they want to keep their wealth and to keep their positions. And they think that Islam is against wealth or a person having wealth. No, it's not. You can be wealthy in Islam, no problem. As long as a person does it with the means that is permissible and halal, legislated. So the pagan of Quraysh, whenever they pass by the Prophet ﷺ and they see around him the weak amongst them, they don't have possessions and the like, they mock at them. They said, "So these are your companions?" Because then they look at it the way they always looked and they grow up upon it. And it was also revealed regarding them, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبُوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Surah An-Nahl, that's chapter 16, verse 41. And as for those who immigrated for the cause of Allah after they had been wronged, we will certainly give them goodly residence in this world. But indeed, the reward of the hereafter will be greater if they but knew. وقال أبو جهل والله لئن رأيت محمدا يصلي لأطأن على رقبته فبلغه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي فأتاه فقال ألم أنهك عن الصلاة فانتهره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أتنتهرني وأنا أعز أهل البطحاء فنزل قوله تعالى أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى سورة العلق وفي بعض الروايات أنه قال ألم أنهك فوالله ما في مكة أعز من نادية. أبو جهل, who was the leader of the Quraysh and the pagans, he said once, by Allah, if I see Muhammad, meaning oh, the Lord Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I see him praying, if I see Muhammad praying, I will surely tread on his neck. Here in the English translation, they miss you subtly. Because in the Arabic text it says, وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ رَأَيْتُ مُحَمَّدًا يُصَلِّي. The translation they miss in يُصَلِّي. Those who have the English translation, correct it. So maybe it's a misprint, or the translator didn't pay attention to it. Because in the English they say that Abu Jahl says, by Allah, if I see Muhammad. No, but here in the Arabic it says, if I see him يُصَلِّي, if I see him praying. Alright?
What page is that in that book?
120 in the English translation. So praying is missing in the translation. Tayyib, because in the Arabic text he says, "Wallahi la in ra'aytu Muhammadan yusalli." In the English he says, "By Allah, if I see Muhammad." But praying, I will surely tread on his neck. Then he was informed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying. Somebody told him. Okay? Somebody told him that, hey, you're looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's over there praying. Okay? فَبَلَغَهُ, meaning somebody told him. People tell from long time ago. You think just these days? People been telling, man. Alright? So don't you think like, hey, man, something new. No, people been telling. Look. فَبَلَغَهُ. He didn't say فَرَآهُ. He saw him. فَبَلَغَهُ. Somebody told him. Alright? Just don't be the one who conveys stuff. But if people tell on you, hey, what are you going to do, man? You think people, they tell on the Prophet, the best of mankind. Just make sure you don't tell stuff. And if you want to tell, tell the truth. Don't just convey anything, whatever somebody come and tell you, oh, guess what? Whenever somebody send you a text message, you forward it, or an email, be careful, because you're going to be asked. And some of those texts, they can create a lot of problems, right or wrong. Text can create a big fitna. And who going to face that? You will face it. Because sometimes that fitna, you can even know how many people that email has caused harm to. At least when you said something to somebody and you harmed him, you can go to him and say, forgive me, please. If it's a man, I'm forgiving you. The ulama, they said, try your best, man. Buy him a gift. Give him something. Help him out. Whatever you can, so that the person says, I forgive you, that's good for you. Because if he don't forgive you, you know what that means. He's going to see you in Yawm al-Qiyam. You don't want to see nobody. It's enough that you're going to see your book of record. That's enough. You're going to see your deeds, man. Now you want to see somebody else? Come in and tell you, hey, come here, man. You remember when you said, and you know that day, ain't no sorry, forgive me, man, I didn't mean it. We know on that day that the matters, they be settled through good deeds and bad deeds. No money, no jewelry, no diamonds, sorry, please forgive me, man, we brothers. No, none of that. Good deeds and bad deeds. So when people tell on you, mashallah, if what they tell on you is right, mashallah, correct yourself if it's wrong. But if they just saying stuff, mashallah. No, he's on the phone. He's on the phone. He's just talking on the phone. So like I says, let us be careful what we say and what we convey. We convey the greetings, we convey good things, but we verify the information when it comes to us. Especially if the information is related to a family, related to a community, and the like. Barakallahu fikum. So here, then he was informed. Abu Jahl was informed that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was praying. And he said to him, so Abu Jahl came and said to the Prophet ﷺ, Alam anhaka, did I not prohibit you from praying? Look at this arrogance. Did I not prohibit you from praying? The Messenger of Allah ﷺ repulsed him. And he said, will you repulse me when I am the mightiest of the people of Al-Batha? Al-Batha is that area of Mecca. He's the mightiest. Look at the statement. Look how he looked at himself. He looked at himself as such. Then Allah revealed this ayat in Surah Al-Alaq. Chapter 96, the verses 9 and 10. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Have you, O Muhammad ﷺ, seen him, meaning Abu Jahl, this was revealed because of him, who prevents a slave, meaning Muhammad ﷺ, when he prays. And he's trying to prevent the best of mankind, the best of the creation, Allahu Musta'an. And in some narrations, the Shaykh Muhammad al-Duhab, rahmatullah, he says, it was reported that he said, did I not prohibit you? By Allah, there are none in Mecca whose counsel is more powerful than mine. That's what Abu Jahl said. وَأَخْرَجَ مُسْلِمٌ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ أَبُو جَهْلٍ هل يعفر محمد وجهه بين أظهركم؟ يعني يصلي في السجود، كناية عن السجود. فقيل نعم، فقال واللات والعزى لئن رأيته يفعل ذلك لأطأن على رقبته. Imam Muslim رحمه الله تعالى has reported on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه that Abu Jahl said, "Does Muhammad place his face on the ground in your presence?" Meaning we prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was said to him, "Yes." It was said to him, "Yes." So he said, "By Allat and Al-Uzza." These are two idols. The names of two idols that they used to worship. See, sometimes they swear by Allah, sometimes they swear by idols. La musta'an. See, in earlier he says, "By Allah." Okay, now he says, "By Al-Uzza." By Allat. If I were to see him to do that, I would trample his neck, or I would besmear his face with dust. فأتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يصلي وزعم ليطأن رقبته فما فجأهم إلا وهو ينقص على عقبيه ويتقي بيديه وقال بيني وبينه خندق من نار وهولا وأجنحة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو دنا مني لاختطفته الملائكة عضوا عضوا فأنزل الله تعالى وقال الشيخ لا ندري في حديث أبي هريرة أو شيء بلغه كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى أن رآه استغنى سورة العلق. So Abu Jahl came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم as he was engaged in prayer and thought of trampling his neck. And the people say that he came near him. When he came near now, Abu Jahl came near the Prophet while he was praying, but turned upon his heels and tried to repose something with his hands. Like he's trying to push something out of his hands, as if somebody is striking him or something. But they couldn't see. People don't see this. They don't see what he's trying to push back. And he said, "There is between me and him," meaning the Prophet ﷺ, "a ditch of fire and terror and winds." Thereupon the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, "If he," meaning Abu Jahl, "if he were to have come near me, the angels would have torn him to pieces." Then Allah the Exalted and Glorious revealed these verses. The narrator said, "We do not know whether it is the hadith transmitted to Abu Huraira or something conveyed to him from another source," meaning these verses, this revelation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Alaq, the verses 6 and 7, كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى أن رآه استغنى. Nay, verily, man does transgress in disbelief and evil deed, because he considers himself self-sufficient. So now, Yaquan, look at this. We have a great benefits and lessons that we learn from just from this paragraph, and this should help us to hold on firm to the deen of Allah. If we're doing it sincerely for Allah, we're going to be tested. He is the best of mankind. The Prophet ﷺ, he was tested and put to trial. Okay? But he ﷺ shows patience and perseverance and continue to worship Allah and call to the deen of Allah. If Allah will, He will make it easy for the Prophet ﷺ. Nobody ever touched him, or nobody ever said one word about him. But لله الحكمة البالغة. There is a wisdom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of this. But one thing that is obvious that we can relate to, if this is the best of mankind, the best of all prophets and messengers, and he still got to go through this, so what about you and me, Ikhwan? But see, the difference is that some of us, we cry and we give up. And nobody tried to put his foot on our necks when we pray. None of that. So, If you are harmed, or somebody says something about you, or somebody makes fun of you, continue to worship Allah. Or if somebody says something about you, the way you look, or the way you, what you do, you change your life. Now you don't watch TV anymore, you don't mingle with women, and you don't listen to music, and you don't talk about people. Because this is something that people love. That's the favorite snack to so many people these days. Backbiting, eating the flesh of others. Tastes more, better than pistachios and all that. Roasted almonds. You know what I'm saying? Yes. People, they get together and they have pistachios in there, almonds and cashews and dibbies, donuts. But they don't touch this thing. They eat in the flesh of their brothers and sisters. Change your diet, man. That's no good. That's haram. Alright? So now people see you like that, you don't talk about people anymore. Because that's what they do, man. Especially if you work around the kuffar. What's the first thing you do if you go? They talk about people. Ah, guess what he did? Guess that. But you like, you don't want to get like, they think like you're a stranger. Of course you're a stranger, man. Alhamdulillah. You are a stranger. But you got to be patient. Because you're holding firm to the path of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the Shaykh mentioned Al-Hijra al-Ula ila al-Habasha. Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned another title, Al-Hijra al-Ula ila al-Habasha, the first migration to Abyssinia, al-Habasha. Qala, wa fi as-sanati al-khamisa, amara an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ashabahu bil-hijrati ila al-Habasha. لما اشتد عليهم العذاب والأذى وقال إن فيها أي في الحبشة رجلا يعني ملكا رجلا لا يظلم الناس عنده. شيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى says in the fifth year من بعثة الرسول. Not, don't mix it with the hijra, because usually now these days we say the fifth year hijra. Now this is still in Mecca. This is the fifth year when the Prophet ﷺ was sent to the people with the message. Okay, the fifth year of Islam. But they still in Mecca, they didn't make hijrah, because they make the hijrah after 13 years they spent in Mecca. So in the fifth year, the Prophet ﷺ ordered his companions, radiallahu anhum, to migrate to Abyssinia, al-Habasha. Al-Habasha is still a country these days in Africa. It's where Ethiopia and Eritrea, and maybe some parts of Somalia, Somal too, they're all together in there. Okay? Like in the east part of Africa, right under Sudan, and cross the sea from Yemen. Okay? The geography, you know. Like this, I can see it right now. Tayyib, and we have brothers, a lot of brothers here from there, mashallah, huh? But not from that time. Alright? Inshallah. So that's their country, the country of history too, mashallah. But it's not going to help them unless if they act upon the history. The real one, the real side of the history that was the Prophet was applying his companions. Tayyib. Give hand says. Bikhair. Tayyib. You're with me? What is the last thing you mentioned?
Ethiopia.
Ah. Aina. So you're with me, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib. So he said in the fifth year, what happened in the fifth year?
They were migrating to Abyssinia.
They just. Who migrated? They just get together and say to themselves, you know what, let's get out of here, let's go to Ethiopia, to Abyssinia.
My husband's man said their sister, I believe Allah told my husband's man that sister punishments for being so fierce, he will allow them to migrate.
Are you telling me what you know, or you try to tell me what I said? Which one, Sajid?
I know.
You tell me what you know, so you work with me. Thanks, brother. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu fi. Ayyakallah. Tayyib. The fifth year, in the fifth year, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala says in his abridged biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the fifth year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered his companions, radiyallahu anhum, to migrate to Abyssinia. When the torment and harassment became severe, and he said to them, there is a man there, meaning in Abyssinia, in whose presence no man is oppressed. So he was a just ruler. قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وكانت الحبشة متجر قريش. The Sheikh says Abyssinia was a place of trade for Quraysh. So they know it. They used to go there, do their trades, bring the merchandise. So the same way they used to go to Yemen for trade, they used to go up north, alright, to where Syria now, Jordan, and Palestine is. So Abyssinia also was a trade place for them, for Quraysh. وكان أهل هذه الهجرة الأولى 12 رجلا وأربعة نسوة. Then the Sheikh Muhammad al-Wahhab rahimahullah said, those who made this first migration, because it was two of them, those who made this first migration were 12 men and 4 women. 12 men and 4 women. قال وكان أول من هاجر إليها عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه مع زوجة ومعه زوجته رقية بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وستر قوم إسلامهم. He says, and the first of them to migrate there was عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه. Was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, accompanied by his wife Ruqayya. Who is Ruqayya? The daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. And some people concealed their Islam and remained in Mecca. Some people, they concealed their Islam and didn't make this hijrah and they remained in Mecca. Then we can learn much from this portion here too. And today, alhamdulillah, in a women class from Riyad al-Salihin, Sheikh al-Uthaymeen mentioned Mara benefits about hijrah. Very good class. If somebody can attend those classes, ikhwan, after Asr on Wednesday, even from the brothers, they're very beneficial. From Riyad al-Salihin, Sheikh al-Uthaymeen. And he mentioned that if a person lives in a land of kufr, disbelief, and it's difficult for him to practice his religion, not allowed to practice the religion properly, it becomes obligatory on that person to leave if they have the means to do so, to go to Muslim land. But if a person cannot make it right away to a Muslim land, they should move to another area in the same non-Muslim land where there is less harm when they can practice their religion. Also, he mentioned that if a person lives in a non-Muslim land, kufr land, like America, he says, and there is an area, the Muslim is allowed to practice their religion, but there is an area where there is a lot of evil. A lot of evil and sins and temptations. That person should move to another area in the same country if he cannot leave it altogether. They have less evil or no evil. But sometimes people, man, they're like, they want to see what's in it for me in there. Is it a job? Muhammad's jobs over there. And he compared like up my, where he is now, and a lot of evil, a lot of temptation, chaos, fighting for his religion and his children, his wife, chaos. And he making $15 an hour. Now he want to go to somewhere else when there is less fitna and a nice community, for example, upon the sunnah, or they giving him 11. Can't go. For $4, you're going to jeopardize the uprightness and istiqamah for yourself and your children, your family. Hey, the Sahaba, they moved, ya akhi. Uthman married to the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, and he moved. They made the hijrah. They went to Abyssinia. I remember that time, this Abyssinia was a land of kufr. They were not Muslims. It's not like they were Christians. They were people of the book. قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وممن خرج يعني في الهجرة الأولى الزبير. Listen to these names يا أخوان. الزبير بن العوام وعبد الرحمن بن عوف. These are from the 10 العشرة المبشرين الجنة. وابن مسعود, the great scholar of Islam, عبد الله بن مسعود. وأبو سلمة وامرأته أم سلمة, الله أكبر, رضي الله عنهم, خرجوا متسللين سرا فوفق الله لهم ساعة وصولهم إلى الساحل سفينتين للتجار فحملوهم إلى الحبشة. وخرجت قريش في آثارهم حتى جاءوا البحر فلم يدركوا منهم أحدا, وكان خروجهم في رجب فأقاموا بالحبشة شعبان ورمضان, ثم رجعوا إلى مكة في شوال لما بلغهم أن قريش صافوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكفوا عنه. Among those who left were Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and Abd al-Rahman ibn Awf, ibn Mas'ud, Abu Salama and his wife radiyallahu anhum. They departed one after another and in secretly, so that the pagan of Quraysh couldn't see them. They weren't just like going and say, hey, we're going, see you later. No, they're doing it secretly, because if the Quraysh know, they will harm them. All of this for the religion. And Allah grant them success in finding two trading boats at the time they reached the coast, and they carried them to Abyssinia. SubhanAllah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah and is dutiful to Allah, acts upon the deen of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. Now, from Saudi and to Abyssinia, to Africa, there is an ocean, there is Bahar, there is a sea, the Red Sea. You know that, right? They can't swim. So now here they, once they make it to the sea shore, if there is no boats, they stuck. The people of Quraysh coming behind them, where are they going to go? This reminds you of what story? Story of Musa and his people with Fir'aun. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the believers. Be a believer. Even if you're followed by somebody, and then Allah is going to make a way out for you. Alright? Keep your trust in Allah. Look, as soon as they get there, and they know that these people behind them, and if they get them, and they know that they're walking towards the ocean, they can't walk, and they can't make U-turn, because they're going to make the job of Quraysh easy if they go back, if they make a U-turn. Supposed to be running, not come back towards the one who's looking for you. But as soon as they get there, Allah made it easy for them, make them successful. And two boats, they were right there, Yahwan, about to sail out. It's not like both they were there and just got there. No, they're about to leave. Allahu Akbar. So they took them. They carried them to Abyssinia. Quraysh gave chase to them until they reached the sea. So the news got to Quraysh. Now they went after them until they reached the sea, but they did not catch any of them. Alhamdulillah. They left in the month of Rajab and remained in Abyssinia throughout Sha'ban and Ramadan. Throughout Sha'ban and Ramadan. Then they returned to Mecca in Shawwal when a report reached them that Quraysh had come to an agreement with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and ceased persecuting them. And then the Shaykh, رحمه وتعالى, he mentioned once again the same story of Ghar Amiq that we talked about it earlier in these classes. But the ulama of hadith, they say this story is baseless, has no base. That when they say that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting Surah Al-Najm and then the shaitan put some in his recitation and this and that, and he mentioned with good the idols and the false gods of Quraysh, and they said, oh, that's what we want. It's okay. You mentioned good our gods, that's what we want. But the ulama, they said this hadith, the scholars of hadith have ascertained that the story of the Ghar Amiq is baseless. Al-Qadi Iyad said, those who reported it among the scholars of tafsir and others did not supply any chain of narrators for it, and they did not attribute it to a companion except Al-Bazzar, and he made it clear that it is unknown from any permissible source except the one he quoted, and in fact there is some defect in this. The pagans only prostrated because they were taken by the majesty of the Quran, the power of its literary style, the splendor of its verses, its lawful magic, the charm of its wording and its sweet fascination. أي تفضل إن شاء الله. أذن. نعم. And then the Sheikh محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه تعالى, he mentioned another title, الهجرة الثانية إلى الحبشة. The second migration to Abyssinia. قال فلما قرب مهاجرة الحبشة من مكة وبلغهم أمرهم توقفوا على الدخول, ثم دخل كل رجل في جوار رجل من قريش, ثم اشتد عليهم البلاء والعذاب من قريش, وسطت بهم عشائرهم, وصعب عليهم ما بلغهم عن النجاشي من حسن جواره, فأذن لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الخروج إلى الحبشة مرة ثانية فخرجوا. When those who had migrated to Abyssinia approached Mecca and news of their situation was conveyed to them, they hesitated to enter. Then every man entered under the protection of a man from Quraysh. After that, the trial and torment from Quraysh increased, and their families tried to intercede for them, and it was hard upon them to be informed of the asylum offered to them by the Negus of Abyssinia, meaning the king Najashi and Najashi. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam permitted them to depart a second time for Abyssinia, and so they left. So when they returned back, Then it was persecution again and oppression, and they were harmed for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by their families, by their own people. That couple of years, you know, before that they were all friends and happy. Allahu al-musta'an. But the companions, they were patient. But keep in mind here, the Prophet ﷺ, he allowed them to migrate again to Abyssinia. But none of the reports show that the Prophet ﷺ tell them, go protest in the street. Go protest. Like the weak now, the Muslims, they listen to the wicked du'at and tell them, go protest. So they've been protesting in Syria for how many months now? Almost a year. What happened? Just innocent and weak people are killed. Every day they say 70, 80, 50 people die. So they don't follow the sunnah. Be patient in your house and nobody come to you. They doing all of this because they want like more bread on the table. Come on, man. SubhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here's the sunnah. He tell his companions, okay, when it becomes difficult for them to be patient, move, make a hijrah. Move once again to the land of Abyssinia. وكان عدة من خرج في المرة الثانية 83 رجلا إن كان فيهم عمار بن ياسر ومن النساء 19 امرأة. The Sheikh said the number of those who departed this time was 83 men. What was it before? 12 men. So that's increased, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So the number of those who departed this time was 83 men, assuming that Ammar ibn Yasir was one of them, and 19 women. فَلَمَّا سَمِعُوا بِمُهَاجِرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجَعَ مِنْهُمْ 33 رَجُلًا وَمِنَ النِّسَاءِ 8 وَمَاتَ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلَانِ بِمَكَّةِ وَحُبِسَ 7 وَشَهِدَ بَدْرًا مِّنْهُمْ 24 رَجُلًا. And when, so they stayed there, when they heard of the migration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Al-Madinah. So they're there and they hear the news. They still hear the news of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they heard that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the hijrah, migration from Mecca to Al-Madinah, 33 men and 8 women from among them returned, and 2 men from among them died in Mecca, while 7 were held prisoners, and 24 men from among them took part in the Battle of Badr. ثم قال الشيخ كتاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى النجاشي يزوجه أم حبيبة. Then the Shaykh mentioned another title, another paragraph, the Messenger of Allah's letter, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a letter to a Najashi. How do you say that? N-E-G-U-S. Negus. You know what that means?
King.
Huh? King. Like a king. Because he was a king, a Najashi. Negus. Now, I don't want to say it and then... you know what I mean? Huh? With my accent? Huh? And say something else? And then they already said Abu Muhammad is racist. They said he don't like black people. Alright, so now I say this, they like, wait a minute, we'll stop right there. He said it. He said the word. We're talking about Najashi, right? Alright? Come here, Yusuf, come here. Say it right here in this. Say it. What is it? Read this, Achi.
It's niggas. Is it?
Niggas.
No. Not nigger. Niggas.
Niggas. Ahsan. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fi. May Allah give you a longer life. Inshallah, upon obedience. Okay, barakallahu fiikum. Yeah, this is serious because some people are hidden just like that. May Allah clean their hearts. Ameen. These are our brothers. These are not Christians or Jews or Hindus. Brothers, Salafis. But they just listen to a tape. Some people, they have nothing to do. Huh? They're just going to go listen to somebody's tape and get from it something. Listen to yourself, brother. You've been saying stuff, listen to yourself. Go somewhere and think about what you say, what you do. You want to worry about me? Okay, I'm only a human being, just like you. I may make a mistake. But what is incumbent upon that brother? If he heard that me, Abu Muhammad, make a mistake, is to talk to me. Not to talk about me. Talking about me is good for me. Keep talking about me, but I don't want that for you. I don't want harm for my brother. See? When people said something about you, for example, if it's not true, then they're slandering you. That's all good for you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. But then you want to look at it the other way. You want to make dua that Allah protect your brothers. Because you don't want them to continue upon harm, right or wrong. These are your brothers in Islam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify the affairs, akhi, and the hearts. So Allah an yaslih al-qulub. May Allah rectify the affairs, because some people, they don't understand this manhaj correctly. They think just because he put his thobe under his knee and he affiliates himself with the Salafi place, that's it. I even understand. It's a lot. It's knowledge, it's akhlaq, manners. So how much a person really is benefiting from Salafiyya when he's harming himself? Harming himself. Salafiyya is for us to protect us. We use Salafiyya to protect ourselves in this life and in the hereafter. But somebody Salafiyya, but he's harming himself. Well, how much did he benefit from it? It's very important, ya akhwan. So we say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive those brothers. Me, I always say that. If anybody says something about me that is my brother in Islam, may Allah forgive him. And I forgive him, alhamdulillah. As for me, I forgive them. And may Allah protect them and protect us from me. Okay. Where are we at now? Not on the word. No. We passed down. Alright.
He sent the letter.
Okay. Send the letter. Tayyib. He sent the letter to An-Najashi. I'm just going to say the Arabic. You brothers say the English. See, what is it now? In the month of... That's what it is, huh? Okay. In the month of Rabi'ah, فلما كان شهر Rabi'ah سنة سبع من الهجرة كتب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كتابا إلى النجاشي يدعوه إلى الإسلام وكتب إليه أن يزوجه أم حبيبة بنت أبي سفيان وكانت مهاجرة مع زوجها عبد الله بن جحش فتنصر هناك ومات نصرانيا. Look at this history, man. Some of it may apply in our lives. What happened then? Look, in the month of Rabi'ah, in the seventh year after the Hijrah, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote a letter to the Najashi, N-E-G-U-S, calling him to Islam. And he wrote requesting him to marry Habiba bint Abi Sufyan. Who is Abu Sufyan then? The main enemy of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To him. She had migrated, but she was a Muslimah. She had migrated to Abyssinia with her husband, Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh. But he embraced Christianity there, her husband. And he died as a Christian. Things been happening. But because we don't know the history, we panic. So when things happen to us, and if we know the seerah, then you're like, wait a minute, this already happened. But let's see how the Prophet ﷺ handled it. How the company handled it, this is how I'm going to do it. Because once you panic, that's it, man. Panic, what they call panic is what? It is a statement. Panic is That's your homework. All right. Find that one and help me. No, no, I think a panic is the first of whatever. I don't know. I forget. I heard it maybe in Chinese. I don't know. طيب, sometimes ideas came to my mind, but mashallah, alhamdulillah. طيب. وكتب إليه أيضا أن يبعث إليه من بقي من أصحابه. فلما قرأ الكتاب أسلم وقال لو قدرت أن آتيه لأتيته. وزوجه أم حبيبة وأصدقها عنه 400 دينار وحمل بقية أصحابه في سفينتين فقدموا على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بخير بخيبر وقد فتحها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also wrote to Al-Najashi requesting that he send those of his companions who remained with him. When the Najashi read the letter, he embraced Islam. And he said, if I was able to come to him, meaning to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, I would come to him. And he married, Najashi married Habiba radiallahu anha to the Prophet and paid her dowry for him, for the Prophet of 400 dinars and sent the remainder of his companions in two boats. They arrived after the battle of Khaybar when the Messenger of Allah had already conquered it. And we stop here inshaAllah ta'ala. We will continue. The next point is بعث قريش إلى النجاشي تطلب إرجاع المسلمين. The Shaykh will talk about Quraysh send a delegation to النجاشي requesting for the return of the Muslims to Quraysh. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.